Hello, everybody. Welcome in for another episode of Vault Club Confidential, sponsored by the great people at Knoxville Smiles. Check them out at KnoxvilleSmiles.com. All that information about the different type of dentistry work that they can do on your teeth is all right there at KnoxvilleSmiles.com. And don't forget to check out the Volunteer Club, thevolunteerclub.com. Great way to get merch, to get to know the Vols, get out to those tailgates, never know, get to a Tennessee baseball game. We've got Hunter Ensley coming up, but for now, more on Knoxville Smiles.
I'm Tennessee basketball player JP Estrella. Let me give you a tour here of the offices at Knoxville Smiles. Dr. Costa is placing implants with a robot, and it's all done digitally. There's no guessing with this since it's all robotic. Dr. Wilco is the newest addition to the office. He loves to research the latest and greatest in technology, so the other doctors go to him for the newest product information and techniques. Dr. Malone is building teeth in the mouth. To him, cosmetic bonding is more like artwork. He does this without cutting your teeth down. It's all about building them up.
Guys, we still have a problem. Do y'all have a bigger chair?
Hunter, so much change since last year. You decide to come back. When you walk in that clubhouse, and there's some teammates that are still here, but it is a drastic change from last year's team. Do you ever look around and go, man, I either feel old or this just feels odd?
It's definitely an every year thing that I've kind of been here because you get so many guys now that are in and out. You know, you get your transfer guys in, and the next thing you know, they get drafted, and then, you know, kind of next man up. And obviously with the older guys leaving too, I remember 3 years ago I was looking at Luke Lipsius like he was old, and it's kind of like a blink in an eye. I'm kind of the old guy now. But
do you feel old though?
I don't feel old. I think the young guys keep me feeling young. Guys like Andrew Fisher have a lot of personality, and they keep me laughing too. So I definitely feel like the older mentor, but I don't feel as old as... No, I probably am.
It certainly feels like this year's team has more I mean, there's been transfers the last few years, right? Maui and different guys that have come through, you know. But it feels like this year's team has more. Like, was it a little bit harder to, you know, gel in the offseason when there's the core group is different, like from different areas coming from different places? Or were you all able to just kind of just pick up right where last year left off and keep rolling?
No, I would agree. Last year was a little bit easier because you had guys like Burke, Simo, KT, Dryling.
That had all been here.
And I can go down the line of everyone who's been here, and it kind of helps, you know, with the culture. But this year, no, I would agree with you. It seems like there's a lot more new guys and a lot more new faces, you know, that are going to have to jump in and fill some of those spots. And I think the toughest thing is getting guys from like Ole Miss, Louisville, places like that. You know, they come from different cultures, so you kind of got to move them towards Tennessee culture, which is a little bit different, but I don't think it's anything drastic. But it's definitely something you got to, you know, work on a little bit, and you got to spend time with those guys off the field and get everybody moving in the right direction.
When you look at this year's team, I remember watching we turned on the TV for the first game, and my daughter's like, who's that? And I'm like, I don't know yet. You got to learn them, right? Like,
right.
You know, I mean, I knew some of the transfers like Fisher and Liam and some of those guys, but as far as like, you know, you get down into certain spots of the lineup, and there's new names where you're like, if you've not really been following it day in, day out,
right,
you know, you've got to learn who this player is. Like, who is this person?
Yeah,
like,
if you, I think if you don't follow it in the fall, or if you really don't follow baseball, you know, 365 days out of the year, it's definitely when these guys pop up on TV. I mean, I would say other than myself, Dean, Bargo, and Peebs, there's not really any familiar faces as there was on that team last year. But I don't think it'll take too long to, you know, to know a few of these guys because of the impact they make on the field.
Cannon Peebles was that guy. Had a really nice year at NC State. Came in last year and you know, kind of just kind of played that, you know, that reserve role, like, you know, when Cal Stark wasn't there, or you know, and they wanted to give him a look for the day, or just kind of a pinch hitting role. Do you feel like he's ready to kind of be that guy that bursts onto the scene and everybody goes, wait, this guy's really good. Because, yeah. I mean, last year you just kind of saw him in like a little bit of role.
Right. I think last year before the season, he was kind of the guy that you thought was going to jump on the scene and do a bunch of damage. And for some reason, whatever it was, it just didn't go his way last year and didn't work out for him. But, no, there was never a doubt that that was our guy coming into this year. And I'm 100% confident in, you know, what he's going to do for us this year. He's just a stud athlete and, you know, great mentality and obviously extremely talented. So we're excited to see him on full display.
Dean Curley, change numbers, now number one. You know, did you ever look around and go, wait a minute?
That's a tough number to hold up because you got to follow Drew Gilbert.
Yep.
And then Christian Moore. So
he's holding up pretty early.
He's, yeah, that kid's a freak. And that kid might be one of the most talented kids I've ever been around. Just bat-to-ball skills and infield play. And
strong arm.
Yeah, I was going to say probably the strongest arm I've ever seen coming across that infield.
You're number nine. Were you number nine in high school?
I've been number nine ever since I've put a jersey on. So when Cortland Lawson left after my sophomore year, I made sure to text the guy on our staff who kind of does the jersey stuff, but I wanted nine that year. And fortunately, I was early enough, the first guy to text him who wanted nine, so I was able to get that number.
So you've worn it since you were a little kid.
I've worn number nine, I'd say, since I was about 5 years old.
Why that number? What made number nine cool for you?
I don't know. It's kind of a family number, and then I guess what helps it a little bit is my birthday's on the 9th. But I don't think that's never really been the main reason why I wear number nine. It's
nine what?
Just been
what month?
August.
August.
8-9. But it's just been a family number. For some reason, our whole family likes number nine, and, you know, the opportunity came up, so I had to jump on it real fast.
So when you were playing football at Huntington High, you were number nine.
Number nine.
Take me through. I heard you were a really good football player.
Yeah, I was okay. I a 4-year starter on defense, and my sophomore year I started playing offense. I was wide receiver, and then junior year quarterback.
That's what I thought.
But I played both ways. Sophomore year throughout senior year.
That is such a neat stretch of Tennessee too, right? I mean this those small little towns in West Tennessee. Like, I love high school football out there.
They're little football towns.
It's awesome.
Really all it is. And those communities and those little towns,
they love it.
That's
they shut it down
in the fall, and they'll shut everything down, and they'll travel to games, shut their businesses down that day if it's a long travel day. So
what was the best memory you have from high school football?
I mean, tons. A lot of them, a lot of the big games, we really never seem to come through that much in the postseason. But I would say there was a couple Huntington versus Milan games. They were like two divisions higher than we were.
Had that purple jersey.
Yeah, they had the purple on, and we took care of business pretty much every single year we played them.
I love that little stretch. From Martin right on down. Like, it's – it's fantastic.
It's
McKenzie.
Really, Camden, once you cross the Tennessee River, it's little town football country right there. And you'd be crazy not to want to go to those games or not want to play in front of those, you know, Huntington football crowds on Friday nights.
What hits harder, Milan or the Wall?
I'll go with Milan. I was probably a little bit undersized, so some of those hits hurt a little bit worse, but I got with Q in the strength program, so the wall didn't hurt as bad. But yeah, I'll take Milan. I'll give those guys some credit over there.
Let's talk about the catch, since we're talking about the wall. How vividly do you remember that play? Like, tracking the ball, trying to figure out where the wall is, you know, I mean, like, where are the eyes at? Because, I mean, are you just feeling? Or are you just, I mean, because you're on a full run there.
Right.
I mean, are you like, I know I'm close? Like, what's going through the mind?
Yeah, you get your feel on, I forget what day we played on, but usually the day before the first game, and I believe we were the first day. So the day before, you go out and you get like that 45-minute practice. So outfielders kind of get a feel for, you know, where you're playing, the warning track, you know, where you'll be at, in the corner, stuff like that. But, no, so I played the first game against Florida State, so I had a decent little feel out there. And obviously we played in Omaha the year before, and I had three games out there. But, no, I remember that play actually probably more than I do the slide. just because I think the stakes weren't as high. But, no, I do remember it was an 0-2 changeup to D'Onofrio. He was our four-hole hitter, and he kind of just took a changeup and put a really good swing on it. And the wind was kind of blowing out to left center, and he hit it just right, and it got up in that wind and carried. And, you know, there is a little bit of thought that goes in your head where it's either you play it off the wall or you just catch it, and if you run into the wall, so what? And I kind of leaned on, you know, trying to catch the thing.
And then had your mark out there the rest of the tournament.
Yeah. No, see, I didn't even know about the mark being on there right after the play. I found that out right after the game was over when we all hop on our phone, and it's kind of everywhere on
all
the baseball pages. But, no, that was pretty cool. And me and Burke were watching SportsCenter that night, and it was on SportsCenter Top 10, so it was kind of a cool experience just, you know, seeing that play kind of explode.
That whole comeback is something that people are going to talk about 30 and 40 years from now. Just the way it all happened, the check swing, just the constant hitting in the ninth, all those big hits. And, I mean, I remember, like, afterwards, I just, like, kept watching it over and over again because it's like, man, how did they come back and win this game?
Right.
You know, because, like, I mean, 99.9% of the time you're taking an L there. And is that 0.1% where you just found a way?
Yeah. No, that was credit to the teammates right there, because in the eighth inning, it was first and second. We were down three, and I believe I ground out to the pitcher. So the inning after, KT was hitting right after me, and he let it off with a triple, and the inning ended with Dylan, who hit right in front of me. So I was the only one that didn't get an at-bat that inning, but was completely fine with it. Dylan Dreiling, he actually came up to me when they went and did that pitching change, and he was like, you want to hit or you want me to end it right now? And I was like, dude, I'm not seeing it that great this game. You just go ahead and end it.
Go ahead and end
it. And he saw that breaking ball up, and he put a really good swing on it. And I probably had the best view in the whole house.
All right, let's take us all the way to the championship game. Winner take all, game three. You know, last batter. Like, what's going through your mind? Because, I mean, like, any given hit, pop of the bat, all of a sudden you got to go make a play, right?
Right.
But it's also like, man, we're like one strike away. You know, I mean, like where does the mind go in those moments? Because it's easy to say, well, we stayed in the moment, but I mean, you're still a kid. I mean, heck, as a 41-year-old, my mind would have been like thinking those things.
Right. I think it was a better. We all had a little bit better peace of mind when Combs threw that ball to the backstop.
When Combs laughed.
Yeah, we'll see.
That's
I didn't even see that from center field, but when that run scored, I think it was an 0-2 or a 1-2 count then at that point. It was kind of like, all right, bases are clear, and, you know, they got to find a way to get this run, this next run score, and he's at the plate. But the only thing that was going through my mind was how locked in can I be on this pitch right now, because I definitely didn't want a ball to drop in the gap, so that was probably the most locked in I've ever been to go make a play, and fortunate enough, I didn't have to go run one down.
Where were you at in the dog pile? I mean, I assume you're not too deep in
that. Well, there was no dog pile.
Oh, that's right. It was more just kind of jumping up and down.
Yeah, center field's fun, and the whole outfield's fun, and I would also say the bullpen's probably pretty fun for a dog pile because we don't get squished.
Yeah.
The guys at the bottom are already ready to get out of the dog
pile.
You're
like delivering the Macho Man elbow from the top, jumping in from
– and we're all still jumping on top. But, no, dog piles are fun from the outfield because you usually can hop on the very
coolest part of the celebration was what?
I would just say, obviously, you know, all the hugs on the field with our teammates, but the bus ride back, and it was a very short bus ride, but from the bus ride back to the hotel, just, you know, that five-minute drive just with your teammates before everything goes crazy.
Was it loud, quiet?
No cameras. I mean, we were just listening to music, having a great time, and kind of had a little – you know, minute there to let it soak in before we got
and then you get there and the fans are then you
get
the parade. My favorite part of the parade was you were having an alcoholic beverage or two going down the gay street.
I had a few,
and
Blake
then,
and
Blake
both,
that's the best part was Blake. Yeah. Blake went full Stone Cold Steve Austin. He just poured it up here and it's just draining down him.
Yeah, I would be lying if I said that was the first time I ever seen that guy do that. But he was my roommate for a year, and then he was also my roommate on the road. That guy's a great time.
He's awesome. We had him out last year. I mean, he was so much fun.
And he loves to compete.
Well,
and,
I remember
just the ultimate teammate, really.
Yeah, and I remember asking him, I said, would you rather have the home run record? He was like, I don't care about the home run record. I just want to win a national championship. Yeah. I mean, it was just like, you know, I mean, like that, he didn't care about any of the record stuff. You know, which
yeah, great teammate, wanted to win, and a great time, too.
And fitting that he was the one that, you know, got the hit that tied the game.
Right.
In, against Florida State.
Yeah, and that play is, it seems kind of to get overlooked a little bit, I feel like.
Yeah.
Just with everything that went on that game. And that right there, that's a tough at bat and a tough situation to be in as a hitter. And the way he slowed himself down, the check swing, you could take it for what it is, but the ability for him to center himself after that and still get the job done is that's a tough thing to do.
What makes you smile?
Just in general?
Yes.
Healthy. I have a dog at home too, golden retriever. His name's Bear, and every time I see that dog, he makes me smile. He's fun. I love him. I like to walk him too. So it's definitely, I like going home, walking him, kind of taking a break from everything else going on in Knoxville. And
is this home when he's home in Huntington?
Oh, this is home at home, the apartment. Home,
okay, yeah, that's what I thought. But
yeah.
Then,
so when I get home, he'll be begging for a walk. So I'll take him on a few mile walk, and he'll play in some snow a little bit. So I better put my boots on, huh?
All right, now more on Knoxville Smiles.
Knoxville Smiles, depending on us to make your smile better. Knoxville Smiles, are you happy with your smile today? Knoxville Smiles, we're all about smiles.
Hey Lance, what makes you smile?
Pancake blocks.
All right, so more back to this team. What do you like about this team? I mean, we're early in the year. You've obviously had some, you know, you crushed Hofstra in three straight games and put up 29 spot on a Tuesday game. But, like, what do you like about this team early? Maybe not necessarily from the action you've seen during the games, but, like, when you're in team meetings, locker room, practice, what puts you at ease to make you think, hey, we can be, not maybe, you know, I don't know if we're going to national title again, but we can give ourselves a shot.
Yeah, no, I like the way everyone shows up and gets to work every single day. I think a lot of it is a bunch of these new guys are hungry, and they've seen what we've done the past year, and you know, they want to come in and be a part of it. You know, they came here to win, and I think that's a good thing for the guys that returned from last year's team, is seeing those guys how hungry they are, and it keeps us, you know, ready to work. And no, I'm extremely excited to just see how everyone kind of develops and plays into their role. Super talented group, tons of depth. And I'm just, everyone shows up to work, you know, ready to get to work. And I think a thing for this group is kind of stay focused on the next game ahead is kind of where I would go with this group. Rather than big picture, I think this group definitely needs a lot to work on, has a lot to work on, has a lot to get better at. But, you know, in the end, I think we're just as good, if not good enough, to make another run.
It's one of those things where, like, it's all about kind of matchups and right. All these type of things. You got this trip to Houston coming up. You look forward to that? Just kind of, okay, we'll go against somebody. Let's go, let us know where we are, maybe what we need to work on.
Yeah, no, I think this weekend's going to be a good test for us, too. Sanford's got a good baseball program down there. So that'll be another really good test for us. But Houston, looking forward to that. Looking forward to A.J. Russell getting back on the mound. I think that's going to be Houston trip. Now, don't quote me on that. I'm not exactly sure, but I think that's kind of what the plan is with A.J. So super excited to see A.J. back going, back on the mound. He's looked really good in some bullpens and flat grounds and live A.B.'s with us. So that guy's a key piece for this team, and I'm ready to watch that guy pitch again.
You get him back. Phillips keeps doing what he's doing. Liam's looks filthy as a left-hander.
Right.
You know, I mean, all of a sudden it's like,
that's a bunch of depth. And then, you know, you have Sneed and T. Frank coming out of the pen.
Who do you least like to face in practice? Who is your bugaboo?
Yeah. Marcus.
I was going to figure. heat from the right side. Whereas he's like tough. Liam looks filthy, but you're at least a right-handed hitter.
Yeah, and I hit a homer off Liam last year on a Saturday, and I give him crap about it all the time. But Marcus doesn't throw anything straight, and it's all 100. And for a right-handed hitter, that's I don't know what the math or the odds are, but they're definitely not good to get a hit or square a ball up off that guy.
What Major League Baseball team did you grow up cheering for?
I really just kind of cheered on players.
I understand that.
I'm kind of, I would say, a Braves guy. Charlie Taylor definitely swayed me to be a Braves guy. He's from Atlanta, right around Atlanta. And I kind of got into liking the Braves a little bit. But I was a big Curtis Granderson fan growing up. He was with the Yankees. I loved Robinson Cano. Ian Kinsler was awesome. Those Rangers teams, I don't know. It seems like I just liked all the good players on the good teams. But
what old school player do you I know you weren't maybe born for, but like, you know, that you maybe like to watch?
Yeah, I like to go back and watch.
Because I feel like you're like Lenny Dykstra.
Well, I mean, if we're talking real old school, Mark McGwire. I actually have a couple of his memorabilia balls of like his 56th home run, his whatever it was, 60-something, 62nd, and it had like the McDonald's logo on it. They're all at the house back home, so those are pretty cool pieces to have.
How often do you get back to Huntington?
I would say over the last, let's just say last calendar year, I stayed probably 8 total nights in Huntington. So I think I was there 4 days this summer after the national championship.
Are you the mayor down there when that's at? When they
people
like,
say
they have a sign
am,
when you cross
the
thing. It's like, welcome to Huntington, home of world champion Hunter Ensley.
No, but it wouldn't surprise me. They're so crazy about Tennessee that, you know, I could definitely see them doing some stuff like that. Right down the road is Brewston, Tennessee, and that's the home of Patrick Willis right there. So they definitely have that sign up right there. But
home of Ole Miss Rebel.
Yeah, but that guy was a stud. And
he was. Be glad you didn't get hit by him in football.
I wouldn't be here right now. That guy, I've seen him put some crazy hits down there at Ole Miss. And obviously, we were Seahawks fans growing up, being from Alaska, and my dad being from Washington, and they always played the 49ers. And Patrick Willis, he'd put his nose in the hole, and he'd hit you.
Would you consider that you the Legion of Boom leader for the center fielders?
I love the Legion of Boom. My favorite athlete growing up was Cam Chancellor.
Yeah.
Loved him. And I actually think I put that on my baseball thing. But no, we don't really have a Legion of Boom in the outfield, but that's a great idea, and I think we should get some T-shirts that say it.
I like it. We should.
NIL. I think that's actually a great idea. Legion of Boom, we throw it on a T-shirt, and anyone who runs into a wall or makes a catch on the wall, they're part of it.
They're part of it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing. You made that heck of a catch. Then Tears makes another catch like
right after
that.
And then Dylan actually ran into the fence game 3 as well against Florida State.
So you have to send those guys Legion of Boom T-shirts. See, I've already
Legion of Boom T-shirts and send it their way.
Alaska. I went for the first time a couple years ago.
Where'd you go?
Oh, we went on a cruise out of Seattle, and so we did
probably did Prince of Wales Island.
No, we did not. We did Ketchikan, Sitka, and Juneau.
Okay.
So we did whale watching in Juneau. Then we did like Ketchikan, we did the ship that's on I forget the show, Deadliest Catch or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And so you go out there and like they take you out to that island where the bald eagles are.
Yeah, so I was born in Ketchikan.
Oh, really? Okay.
That was the hospital where I was born at.
I think there was a sign, born here, world champion Hunter Ensley.
I don't know how far of many miles Ketchikan is from Kassam, but I believe you had to take a float plane from where we live to get to that hospital.
How many times have you taken a float plane?
I don't know. I would probably say over 50. Just my guess. I was so young, I don't ever remember it. But
we were in Juneau. They just kept landing there, you know, and then they would take off. There was one at Tennessee Orange when it was awesome.
Really?
You know, yeah. It was, you know, I love that place. I just thought it was super neat, you know. And I've done the whale watching a few times now, and I thought the whale watching up there was awesome.
Yeah. Well, so we could actually see some of that from our house where we lived at. We were kind of right on the ocean.
Nice.
And I do have a few memories kind of looking out in the ocean and seeing some of those whales jump up, and pretty cool out there.
It is. When was the last time you were there? Been a while, I'd say.
The year after I left. So I left at 5, went back at 6. I need to go back.
You do?
Quickly. Maybe when my baseball career is over, I'll take a whole summer and just go up there and hang out.
What do you want to accomplish with this year's team? Obviously, the goal is to do it again, right? But, like from an individual standpoint, like with your teammates, for you, like, what are some of your goals?
Yeah. For me, it's showing up to the field every day and being consistent. That's definitely a tough word to hold to a standard, I would say. But being consistent for my teammates and kind of letting those younger guys see that's kind of the way you do it around here. I mean, I watched Evan Russell do it for 2 years, and I could only imagine the three before that were the same way. And that stuff kind of sits with a young guy, just seeing about how an older guy, you know, goes in, gets his work done. And that doesn't mean you have to put the most work in or work the hardest. Just, you know, get your work done and
always be there
and do what needs to be done to be in a good position to win. So I think if I can do that for the younger guys and, you know, leave this program in a better place than I found it, that's more than, you know, winning baseball games.
How much do you talk to the guys that are no longer here? You got text chains?
Probably pretty much every single day. I mean, we have every single group chat from the previous 4 years.
And they're still rolling.
Oh, they roll all the time, especially last year.
Who's the leader of these chats? Who's the one that's always chatty?
Blake Burke. I mean, this guy's sending memes in every single day. I would say that chat is a little more going than the others, probably because we're so fresh off that team, and that was just last year. But Blake Burke definitely seems to throw a lot of messages in there, and obviously Simo too. They like to keep in touch with the guys. There's a lot of just funny memories that pop up, and they'll just kind of pop them in those group messages.
All right. Normally, this is the point in the show where I asked the either guy or girl to pull out the phone and call the one person they know they can count on to answer the phone at any given time.
Yeah.
We're not doing that this show. We're calling Blake Burke. Call him.
Let's see if he answers. He is in Arizona right now.
It's true. He actually may be doing something much more important than talking to us.
I think it would be 3 o'clock there.
No, 4. It's that time of year where they're only 2 hours behind.
It's FaceTime him.
Do you ever FaceTime him? Is he going to think this is odd?
All the time he FaceTimes me. Hold up. For some reason. Blake Burke. There we go. I don't know why I keep saying team. Oh, there you go.
Well, you're not FaceTiming. You're calling.
I know, but when he answers, I think I'm going to have to press FaceTime. It kept telling me, for some reason, I had to go on Teams. He won't answer.
You just got to go to the FaceTime app.
Oh, I forget about the FaceTime app.
This is Blake Burke. We knew he would fail us.
He's failing us. Wow. It's called Billy.
Do I have to do this when I...
They both might fail me.
Billy did this show.
I remember Burke did it last year.
Oh, yeah. He called you, I think.
He called me and Billy.
That's right.
Yeah. So kind of disappointing he's not answering.
Well, he is doing.
We'll give these guys a break. They're doing their thing with Pro Bowl. But if Cannon Peebles is my next call. That's who I was going to call. If he doesn't answer, bad teammate.
When's Drew Beam getting married? When's Drew Beam and Simo getting married?
Beam, I'd probably say he's coming up.
Is he getting engaged here soon?
You said Simo?
Is Beam getting engaged here soon?
Probably. I told you he would answer. Hey, we're on a podcast right now. I was just calling because I figured you would answer.
Why would I not answer you?
Whoa, no, I called you because...
He questioned how good of a teammate you were.
Because I thought you would answer. The question was, call someone he would answer, but we called Burke. He didn't answer.
Burke ain't going to answer his phone.
No, so we called you, and I told him if you didn't answer, you're a terrible teammate.
Turns out I'm a great teammate.
Yeah. You're okay.
Yeah.
All right, Peebs. We'll see you.
All right. See you.
So, if you weren't playing baseball, what would you be doing? Like, what's your major? Like, what do you want to do if baseball ends? What are you wanting to do?
I have a major. I graduated with sports management. So, that could be coaching. Coaching would be my first thing I would say. But I don't know. I feel like I could be a good salesman. Maybe sell real estate. I think I can sell some big houses.
I could see the real estate thing.
But I also don't know if I want to sell houses.
Yeah, but
we'll see. I don't know. Maybe baseball lasts long enough to where I'll never have to get a real job.
I mean, I think it's easy. You got to sell real estate.
Here we go.
There he is. Playing golf. I love this. He's playing.
Yeah.
He's playing golf.
Pod.
The same thing you did a year ago.
His is probably more interesting than mine.
I don't know, man. Your uncle was pretty pleased with how I got you to talk last year.
Well, he's an easy man to please.
What hole are you on? Where are you playing golf at?
I'm in Fort Myers right now. We just finished our 9 holes.
So he's in Florida.
Appreciate you answering on the first ring.
That's my bad. I was thinking my poor butt.
Nobody believes that. Nobody believes that.
I missed.
All right, Bill.
All right, boys.
See ya. Burke's probably next. He'll ring me back.
But, I mean, like, think about it. You sell real estate. I mean, like, Hunter Ensley, he'll run through a wall for you.
Could sell real estate, so if anyone is looking for a new realtor, could be your guy next year.
Are you going to try to play professionally?
Could be your guy next year.
Could be. Maybe not. At this point next year, you could be in Florida or Arizona.
Could be golfing with Billy. That doesn't sound too bad either.
No, it doesn't. Either one. Warm. It's warm in Arizona and warm in...
There's not snow right now, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I know.
He had a t-shirt and a polo on, so I'm jealous of that guy right now.
Tony, what's he meant to you?
Everything. He's kind of been, you know, he was the guy who recruited me, and he's our outfield coach, and that's definitely one of the coaches I spend the most time around, and he's definitely the coach that, you know, gives the most input. But, no, he's just been so great to me, and, you know, he will literally tell you straight to your face what you need to get better at and what you need to work on, and I think that's huge for a player, you know, with a coach telling you, like, this is what you need to get better at, this is what you need to do to play or be in the lineup or even contribute.
How important is the continuity on the staff from a standpoint of, like, Elander is going to be a head coach probably sooner rather than later, but he's still here.
Right.
Frank, older veteran coach who, you know, again, will probably retire sometime, you know, one would think. You know, I mean, like, how important is that, though, that, you know, every day you walked in here, you knew where these guys were going to be and who was going to be there?
Yeah, I think a lot of it comes from V just being so loyal to this place and the program and obviously the whole state of Tennessee. And he kind of built this program pretty much from in-house guys that he's been around. Elander was TCU, and then they went to Arkansas, and they picked up Bonfield, and V worked under McCann, and I'm pretty sure McCann worked with Josh Reynolds, and somewhere down the line, Kivett's involved. So all these guys are just loyal to this program, and it's huge coming to the field knowing all these guys are bought in. You know, they could be working jobs anywhere, and they just want to make this place better.
Have you ever blown off a stop sign from Elander at third?
No, if I ever did that, he would not be happy. That
there's been a few guys that have, though.
Burke has, and he got thrown out by like 50 feet. We need to pull that video up. I don't remember where it was.
But Burke didn't answer, so now we're going to throw him under the bus, back him over.
But that guy ran through a stop sign last year, and he was out by like 40 or 50 feet. And everyone was like, what is this guy doing? And Burke was probably lying. He said he didn't see it, but he definitely saw it. You cannot miss the stop sign from him.
We just ran him over again.
Yeah. But he didn't care. He too good of a hitter to take him out of the lineup.
You're right. That's exactly right. Like, I'm a dared. Take me out then. We'll see how that goes over
that
for
guy,
you.
He can hit, so he'd be chalked in. I would probably, if I was a coach, have 56 lineups, and I'd have Burke in there just every day before the season. Second of a hitter.
Traditionally, you look at, like, you know, the way lineups were constructed years ago, and it was, you know, your leadoff guy was kind of a speed guy. Get him on, kind of see what happens. The old Kenny Lofton, Marquise Grissom, Otis Nixon, all those guys were born or played well before you were ever born. But I'm old. Now, I mean, you know, Simo, you know, now you're Dean Curley. You know, now you're like, you know, I mean, you're one two-hitters for your all-time home run hitters.
Your guys.
Like, I'm just like, it's not constructed that way, right? I mean, it's used to be 3-4-5, and now it's like 1-2.
Right.
Let's get them as many bats as we can.
I think in college, it's definitely different than pro ball. I think you want to get your best players the most at-bats. And it shows how, I mean, it definitely works. Simo and Burke, you wanted to get those two guys up to the plate as much as possible last year. And, you know, they produced, it seemed like, a lot more than they didn't.
What one series in the SEC are you looking forward to most?
I would say Florida, just because it's the first one. And
it's a weak answer.
That's kind of where
you don't
get
Baltimore material. It's okay. I'll say it. Alabama. They're the only ones that got you last year.
We play Alabama, don't we?
Yep, early again. You played them early last year.
I would go with Florida right now, but, I mean, I can go on and on about, like, 9 different schools.
Which is the one that actually really does get to, like, no, I don't mean, like, in a bad way, but, like, man, like, you're like, I just love playing there. They're good. They test you.
Yeah.
Tough place to play.
Well, yeah, I mean, my second was going to be LSU. That place is electric down there.
It's a late April series.
It'd be warm then, huh?
Yeah.
Those fans are involved, and it's a lot of fun to play down there. Obviously excited about A&M coming to town. Arkansas is a really fun place to play at. Ole Miss is going to be really fun with Fisher and Doyle. I'm trying to think. I don't even think we play Georgia this year.
I don't think so. You don't play Texas either.
Yeah, no Texas, no Oklahoma. Georgia's a weird one.
That you wouldn't get at least one of them.
Yeah, Georgia's the one that was weird to me just because I don't know when the last time Tennessee hasn't played Georgia in the SEC regular season.
It's only proper.
So we've always been on the same side.
No, 100%. But, I mean, you know, with Simo, I mean, it's only proper, you know. He and his girlfriend, they left town, so, you know.
Yeah, they don't have to go see each other anymore. So that makes
it easy. I used to give him such a hard time. And he could have easily been like, this dude. Like, and I'm like, you know, he handled it so well, like, you know, to the point where he would, like, kind of start, like, chirping back, and it was fun. And, you know, I always thought, I'm like, well, what did you think was going to happen when you decided to wear a Georgia jersey at the Georgia game?
Yeah, that one wasn't smart. And I would tell Simo that to his face. And I think I have. I was just like, dude,
you could wear black. You could have wore black, and no one would have batted
an eye. What are you thinking? Just wear black. And maybe
wear a black t-shirt and
sneak some orange socks under your pants or something like that. But you'll never find me in a jersey other than Tennessee college wise.
What about pro? Anyone that drafts him.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter. Preferably warm.
Preferably
warm.
That means you'll get drafted by Toronto.
Yeah, or Minnesota.
Yeah. Which plays outside. At least Toronto, you're
in the
dome.
Well, they play with Billy, though. That'd be fun. I'd be golfing right now. There you go.
There you go. Man, we appreciate the time, buddy. And good luck the rest of the way this year. I know Tennessee fans are excited you're back again. And keep making them proud in that number 9, all right?
Yeah, man, I appreciate you for having me. Thank you.
Thanks for coming in. I appreciate you. Be careful. How are we going?